We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now, hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Marty Gilbert. Marty is the founder and CEO of the North Shore Executive Networking Group, Chicago's largest job search networking and coaching company. The organization is comprised of over 4,000 members. There are 5 new individuals each day and 10 members landing new jobs each week. Marty brings a wealth of job search coaching experience for middle and senior level professionals, and his efforts have helped over 1,000 individuals to land new careers. Marty, welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, that's quite the background you've got.
It's been a very exciting trip, and it's amazing how the organization has evolved over time.
I'm sure you have a lot of people that appreciate your services.
Yeah, it's a good feeling.
That's good. Well, give yourself a nice pat on the back for that.
Thank you.
All right, so I understand that you recently produced a 3-minute video on your what the hell approach to a job search. What is that approach, and how does networking figure into it?
So much about the job search is really about putting yourself out there. And that's probably where most people have the most difficult time. It's about taking chances and doing things that are a little bit outside of your comfort zone. And probably the toughest thing for most job seekers is to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And so doing things that are a little bit atypical of your behavior are things that are going to make things happen for your job search. And so what I describe in this short 3-minute video is what the hell do you have to lose by asking people in your network for help?
Mm-hmm.
They want to help. They can help. You've just got to be clear on how they can.
Yep.
And there's so many ways to articulate that. What do you have to lose by going after companies that don't even have advertised positions? The fact is 50% of the job market out there today is not advertised online. And most people spend so much of their time sitting behind their computers, being lonely, responding to ads along with 400 and 500 other people.
Mm-hmm.
Great way to differentiate yourself is go after companies that aren't advertising online, because quite honestly, many of them do have jobs. The competition is less when you're going after companies that don't have that kind of response. And there's ways for you to make yourself known. And what do you have to lose by sending a note off to the CEO or other senior leaders in a company?
Mm-hmm.
You get known, and one of the great things that happens is a very significant trickle-down effect, because we've all have worked in companies where when you get a note from somebody at a senior level, you take that as sort of an order.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get a note from a CEO who takes an interest in your background and they send it off to somebody in the organization and says, you know what, maybe this is somebody you want to take a look at, guess what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You're going to get an interview.
Yeah.
And so those are the kinds of things that, you know, what do you have to lose?
Yeah, I think that's great. And I can vouch, because I'd say the 2 roles that I had before I started Keystone Click were not published opportunities. I was just... one was through networking, you know, which is obviously what you and I are both advocating for. And the second one was I just, this is funny, I faxed blasted my resume to a number of companies. None, I'd say half of them maybe had job postings available, but it was different. And I got an awesome opportunity because of that.
Right. Yeah. So it all is about getting noticed.
Uh-huh.
How do you create awareness? How do you package yourself? How do you communicate your value? The job search, it's a marketing exercise.
Absolutely.
And that's where, of course, so much of my background comes from and why I feel so comfortable doing what I'm doing today.
Yeah. Very cool. So what do you think is the hardest part of networking for most people?
It's getting people to really break out of their comfort zone. It's so easy to do day in and day out the things that have come very natural and normal to you. But it's those things that take us into sort of an unknown area that make things happen that are going to be abnormal.
Yep.
And sometimes the greatest things that happen are those that are from an abnormal beginning. And so getting comfortable with being outside of your comfort zone is a is an interesting piece. People also really struggle in networking because they have such a fear of failing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We all think, if I do this, then what, you know, I might not be able to do it well enough. But this kind of gets back to my what the hell approach. You know, what do you have to lose?
Yep.
You know, it's not like you've got thousands of eyeballs on you looking and waiting for you to fall. Another thing with, you know, what is very challenging for a lot of folks with regard to networking is a fear of talking to people that they don't know and reaching out to them. And you never know what the person on the receiving end is going to be like, because quite honestly, most people are very receptive.
Yep.
And the other piece is, particularly in networking situations, in large networking meetings like I hold, where there could be anywhere from 60 to 160 people, arrive early. What's really intimidating to a lot of folks in a networking situation is when they come into a room and there's already 30, 50, 100 people there, and they feel like they're on the outside looking in, and they are.
Mm-hmm.
Come early, get engaged, start in conversations, and you're part of the mix from the very beginning. And now you've had an opportunity, of course, to meet far more people than the people that come later in the game. But you're engaged and you're not feeling like you're left out. So much of this is about jumping in the deep end.
Yep.
Okay. If you don't try, you'll never know what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the great things about networking, because it is a very experimental environment.
It is very much an experimental, but experiential too, I
True.
Think. That's really good advice. I like that, the tip of arriving early. I think I've had some past guests on my show talk about that. Mm-hmm. One of their strategies was to just show up super early, offer to help set up, because then they are kind of building a relationship with probably one of the most important people at the
Absolutely.
Event, which is the person putting it on.
True.
Who then can guide you on, you know, who else you should connect with and talk to. I love that tip. So what role does networking play in helping you grow your business?
So with the North Shore Executive Networking Group, we've just recently passed the 4,000 member mark. And it's all been organic. It's all been through networking. It's people come to a meeting, they like what they experience, they like the speakers, they like the networking in the small group settings, and what do? They go off and tell two other people.
Mm-hmm.
They bring them to the next meeting. So there's been a very viral person-to-person networking aspect to it. And I, of course, rely on that a lot. And that's why I have five new members joining the group every day.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's been so powerful. And of course, there's no better referral than one that comes from an individual who's been there, right? The other aspects of networking and how they impact my business, one is I've gotten an incredible reach, particularly through the digital world.
Mm-hmm.
I have people coming to my meetings from northern Indiana all the way up to northern Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And everything in between. You know, I mean, it's a Chicago base. I've got two locations, one in the northern suburbs, one in the western suburbs. But it's amazing to me how the word gets out, not just through person to person, but of course, through things that I'm doing on LinkedIn and Facebook and other digital medium. And they get things are getting forwarded. My newsletters that I send out each week are getting forwarded to literally hundreds of people that I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up showing up at a meeting and telling me how they learned about the group and through various organizations.
That's fantastic.
Also, the whole notion of, you know, people wanting to pay things forward is such a bigger deal today, because people know what goes around comes around.
Yep.
So being a good citizen, being a good friend, and being able to help people that are in need is all part of networking. And, you know, it not only makes you feel good on the front end, but it may have some benefits that you would never expect on the back end. I promote all of my events regularly, every week, onto about 30-some Chicago area LinkedIn groups, some of which are really quite large. Mm-hmm. And I do that so that I've started to capture my local audience.
Yep.
Okay. And I'm now starting to creep up into Milwaukee as an example, because I'm getting
today.
More and more people, you know, up this way.
Uh-huh.
I do the same thing on Facebook. I find Facebook groups that are specific to various different locations in the Chicago area. My newsletters get out to a lot of folks. And then I've become a lot more active on LinkedIn with things that I'm posting, and now the beginnings of what I'm hoping is going to become a video series of advice.
Yeah, which is great, because video is a fantastic tool right now.
I'll tell you real quickly, just two quick stories. I did my first video a few weeks ago, and it was that What the Hell Approach to Job Search. And literally within 2 days, I had over 4,500 views.
That's fantastic. Okay,
I never would have imagined something like that could happen. And it's interesting. I came across an article yesterday in the Chicago Tribune. It was about an individual who had been discriminated because of his age in his job search. And this is a very, very, you know, controversial topic. So I took that article and I just made a comment on it and sent it out to all of my connections. I sent it out at 8 at night. By 8 in the morning, I had over 4,200 views.
Wow.
And I had, you know, something like on the order of about, you know, 12 shares and 50-some likes. So people are watching. They're paying attention. And this is a great way for communications to get out on a broad scale.
Yeah. That's fantastic. We're going to circle back to that question in just a little bit. But
sure.
Before we go down that route, you talked about fear a little bit and how a lot of people are afraid to do some networking. And one of my goals with this podcast is to remove that and to alleviate that tension and stress that comes along with those who are maybe newer in the networking space. So can you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking experience that you've had?
It's tough for me to find one, but I'm going to give you an example that touches on a few.
Okay.
Because the methodology was very, very similar.
Okay.
And it's the power of introductions, personal introductions. So I regularly bring at every meeting a keynote speaker to talk on any range of different subjects relative to the job search.
Mm-hmm.
Could be LinkedIn, personal branding, resumes, cover letters, being more dynamic in meetings.
Mm-hmm.
But every speaker that I have brought in front of the group, and I've got a portfolio now of about 40 of them, have all been through people that have introduced me to folks and speakers introducing me to others. And some of the people are pretty extraordinary. I'll just give you a couple quick examples. Colonel Jill Morgenthaler. She was the highest ranking woman in the U.S. military going back a few decades ago. She got involved in negotiations with Saddam Hussein. She got involved with the North Korean and South Korean borders, helped get a U.S. engineer avoided from being kidnapped by what was the Soviet Union back then.
Wow.
She has introduced me to others, a woman by the name of Catherine Johns, who broke the glass ceiling for the radio broadcast industry in Chicago. WLS was, in fact, at that time, the largest radio station in the country.
Wow.
And she was the only female sitting alongside some of the most famous disc jockeys in the United States. And then another individual who was introduced to me was a silver medalist at the Winter Games as a speed skater, talking about how to bring design thinking into job search.
Wow.
And I was eventually introduced to another individual who is a executive brain coach. Very interesting individual, how to stimulate your brain so you perform at a higher level.
Sure.
Whether it's for job interviews or on the job.
Wow.
But every one of these examples, and they're all extraordinary people, have all come through networking connections.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And it's great to meet and work with folks like this, because you just get so much out of it.
Well, and obviously you're inspiring to a level that someone feels that they want to bring this other person in front of you, and that they identify this is going to be a great connection because of the network that you have to further expand that message from that speaker.
Yeah. And it's a lot of fun. I am meeting really, truly fantastic people.
I'm sure you are. It sounds like it. It's kind of a similar experience I'm having with the podcast.
Good for you.
It's so fun, right? You just, You know, it's just kind of this chain that continues to happen as you meet one person. They say, oh, you know who you need to meet now that I know you. And then they connect you with that next person down the road here. So you did share a little bit about some of the activities that you're doing to stay in front of your audience of, you know, right now you've got over 4,000 people, which is fantastic. But what do you do to nurture these relationships that you've been building? Okay.
So I try to make myself as visible as I can. And I know I physically can't be everywhere. Uh-huh. And that's where the digital piece of it is so important. So I do with regularity make my presence known on LinkedIn, particularly through broadcasting out to all of my 7,500 connections and knowing that it's going to go well beyond, you know, the borders of that defined group. I do a lot of things on groups, both in LinkedIn and Facebook, as I've mentioned. I'm constantly connecting with new people. Sometimes I'm on the receiving end. Many times I'm on the reaching end. Uh-huh. And it's important because networking is something that you never stop doing. You can't afford to stand still. And the fact is there's so many more exciting things going on outside of what you're doing today that you want to be a part of. And networking is a way to get there.
Yep.
I do attend a lot of in-person events as I can, whether it's industry specific or charitable events, any number of different activities that just enable me to interact with a lot more people and different kinds and groups of people. I do seek out speaking opportunities because I do love being in front of the audience and, mm-hmm. and have an opportunity to share some of my perspectives.
Yep.
It may be a little bit different than some things that folks have had. These are all ways to help nurture the network that I've grown to know and hopefully that I'm going to continue to grow and expand into areas that I haven't even touched on today.
Nice. Well done. And obviously it seems to be working, the approach that you're taking. So what advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
Well, I think it really starts with knowing very clearly who you are and what value you bring. Because the question that oftentimes we are all asked, and it's not unique to just job search folks, tell me a little bit about yourself. Who are you? We all get asked that in social mm-hmm. events. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Yep.
And that is an answer that you really need to be prepared to answer, because what you really want is an answer that's going to stick, that's going to make you memorable, likable, and potentially lead to other things. You want to be able to engage people. And so to me, the simple question, tell me a little bit about yourself, for so many people is one of the most difficult questions to answer. And so I do encourage people, particularly in their professional careers, be prepared mm-hmm. with how you describe yourself, because that's where it starts. And I also, you know, suggest to people that you want to go beyond those areas where you've been, okay? But certainly start with understanding what are the industries that you're in, the companies where you've been, and what are some of the tangential areas that could be areas that you might want to explore,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because a lot of folks, you know, are, whether it's job seekers or people in sales, always looking for ways to leverage that which they've done well.
Mm-hmm.
How do I now grow that and expand that to other customers, to yep. other potential clients? And so knowing those kinds of things, I think, is really important.
I agree 100%. Called your elevator pitch or your 30-second commercial. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that it's described, but it really does come down to standing out and kind of making someone want to learn more about you instead of being just the same old commercial that everyone's heard over and over and over again.
Yeah, and I think one thing, you know, there are always going to be people that we want to meet, mm-hmm. that we want to know, but we don't think there's a way to get to them.
Yep.
Or we think they're just too big, mm-hmm. right? There's ways to get to everybody today.
Oh, yeah.
There's no question about it. And so I think it's probably incumbent on everybody, particularly folks that are somewhat early in their careers, start thinking about the people that you really admire,
mm-hmm.
the folks that you would just love to meet, and start to map out a process, a path that begins to get you to that person or those kinds of people, because those are the ones that are going to be able to get you the kind of visibility that you probably deserve.
Yeah, that's great advice, especially for someone that's kind of newer to the networking game. It sounds like the advice you're really saying is really identify what your goals and objectives are
it's
in
no
alignment
different.
With networking, and then saying, these are the steps I'm going to take to get there. I think that's extremely important. All right, I'm circling back to the question related to the digital networking space. So you've got some great advice and systems in place about leveraging Facebook groups and LinkedIn groups and your email list. But obviously, what you're really advocating as far as networking goes is getting people together and shaking some hands. So in your experience, which one do you ultimately find more value in, that digital networking or that traditional networking?
You know, you can't separate the two.
Mm-hmm.
At least I can't. They both have such a significant importance and a very critical play in any aspect of networking. So to me, the digital world creates reach. It enables you to reach literally hundreds and thousands of people simultaneously in many cases. You can really get the word out. You can engage a very large audience. But it's that one-on-one or one-on-a-few interaction, that human interaction, that makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you make the impact. So audience reach, digital. Impact and engagement is done much more at a smaller, more intimate setting. You know, we think about, you know, LinkedIn and Facebook. In many ways, there's nothing more than databases.
Mm-hmm.
They are a collection of people.
Yep.
Okay. And there are ways to reach them. But you can't communicate only on posted videos, posts and articles that you send out. It doesn't oftentimes say enough about who you are as a person.
Yep.
And so that human element and interaction is so critical. What I love about the digital world is the kind and amount of information you can get on somebody.
Uh-huh.
The fact is, I can go into LinkedIn, and I'm obviously a big user of mm-hmm. this platform. By looking at one person, I could map out an entire senior executive team organizational chart.
Yep.
Because of what LinkedIn offers you as adjuncts to it. You can see who people that have looked at this profile tend to look at these others. Guess
yep.
what? Sitting alongside this person is now the VP of sales, the VP of marketing, and the CEO. Great. Now I've got a picture of who are these people that I now potentially want a message to, because
yep.
I want to sell them something. I want to get something in their hands. I want to be able to have a potential meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But you can map out so much critical information. I do a lot with newsletters. So obviously a mechanism like Constant Contact is a real savior for me, because I keep my database there and I'm able to message out and announce and promote all of the events that I've got coming up every 2 weeks.
Nice.
But in the end, the in-person is so important, and it's probably the part it's not that I enjoy it more, but it gives me the opportunity to really inject my personality,
mm-hmm.
my own brand. It enables people to get to know who I am and what I stand for.
Yep.
And that's why I, you know, in part, have made the move to dedicate all my time now to the North Shore Executive Networking Group, because I want to have that opportunity to do it.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. No, I agree. I think it is. They're both critical components to networking. And I like to say that digital is a tool that allows you to nurture, which you very much provided that. But I like how you commented on that one-to-one is where the impact really happens.
Mm.
And that real-time engagement. I mean, you can have engagement in the digital space. It's more, you know, a little bit of dialogue, a short sentence that says whatever it is, commenting on the article or just acknowledging that they appreciate the information you shared. But that one-on-one is really where you have, I would say, a lot more emotion, and you're creating a connection that's stronger than that digital space.
Yeah, and I recognize that you're not going to get FaceTime with everybody.
Mm-mm.
And that's okay. But that's where the digital piece, you can connect with folks that you never thought you could. Yep. And the fact is, one simple known fact is that everybody in the working world has one of two email formats.
Okay.
One of two formats. It's either jsmith@abc.com or john.smith@abc.com. So when you find somebody on LinkedIn, just because you're not linked and connected with them doesn't mean you can't communicate with them.
Yep.
You try that jsmith or john.smith approach, and trust me, one of those 9 times out of 10 will yep. get you to that yep. person.
There's a lot of truth to that.
Yep.
Okay, Marty, if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
I was probably different than a lot of folks early in my career.
Okay.
I was one to take chances.
Well, cool.
I had a lot of international experience early in life and had an opportunity to travel throughout Europe for 7 months, and that led ultimately to a job in Japan.
Awesome.
Where I lived in Tokyo for 3 years working for a very large advertising agency, and then took a very long extended several month trip throughout Asia. And to me, those things absolutely molded my life.
Mm-hmm.
It changed my life. It changed my perspective on people, on the world, and the way I looked at things. But it doesn't mean that I took enough chances. I always felt that in my career, because once I did those things, it did influence me and what I went after, and I decided to go into writing. But I wish I had continued to do more of that experimentation in the corporate setting. And oftentimes, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Corporations are very structured, rigid. They've got rules. Way you're supposed to behave, the way you get promoted, the way you move in an organization across departments, up and down. And I just wish I had maybe attempted to break some more rules in the professional setting as well. It just served me so well in my personal life. And I would love to have known what it would have done for me or done any different for me if I had behaved that same way in my professional settings.
Oh, that's really interesting. I like that because I think that, I don't know, I just got a lot of thoughts in my head right now around that. I see a lot of corporate professionals that just work in the box, right?
Yep.
These are my rules and this is what I am allowed to do. But then you see those that are kind of moving to the top are the ones that are willing to take the risks and you know, break down those walls that say, well, I want to try this, even though everyone says this is the way we have to do it. So it isn't. That is an interesting thought. Thanks for sharing
sure.
that. Okay, so as a professional, I imagine you're consistently educating yourself on some degree. So I'm always curious what my guests are reading right now.
So I will tell you up front, I am not a reader of books.
Okay.
I'm a magazine guy.
All right.
There's only two magazines that I'm absolutely dedicated to.
And what are those?
One is Sports Illustrated.
Okay.
The other is National Geographic. I just don't have the patience to sit down and read books at length. It's just not in my DNA. But it's interesting. The last book I do remember reading, and there have not been a lot of them since I've left school long ago,
okay.
Was a book called Moneyball.
Okay. Yep.
It's written by Michael Lewis. And a very interesting book because it was, for me, it was because it was sports related. It was all about baseball.
Yep.
And it was about the Oakland A's and that they were a team that didn't have the talent that the Yankees and all the big, you know, dollar company, you know,
sure.
baseball teams had. But they found a way to use statistics and data to really identify key players that were tremendously undervalued.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting, a lot of people don't know this, but I did run a company called Stats Incorporated for a few years, and we were the data company that provided all that analytics to the general manager of the Oakland A's so
That's
that they
awesome.
Could make those decisions. And ultimately, Michael Lewis could write the book Moneyball, and Brad Pitt, of course, we created employment for Brad
uh-huh.
through the movie that they created called Moneyball.
I like
so,
how you
so, yeah, so Brad and
dots.
I are connected.
Yeah, yep, yeah, nice. I like
God,
that.
Just a couple degrees.
My husband's gonna be really excited to hear that because he's a baseball stats fanatic, and he loves the book and the movie. So that's fun little insight.
Oh, it's just it's amazing, and it's a very interesting company because we collected all the data on every Major League Baseball, basketball, football, and hockey game, and in this case, it was just so noteworthy that Michael decided to make a story out of it because whoever would have imagined that a team with such a small payroll could make it to the very end?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it's actions, right? That then and looking at the data influences that. So that's really cool. Yeah. It's a great story indeed. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that with us. Marty, any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Just a couple quick things that, you know, cause we've covered a lot here.
Sure have.
You know, one is that networking, you never stop. It's a never ending process. And I certainly see this with the job seekers in my organization because I've had many of them get jobs, doesn't work out, and they're back. Mm-hmm. The worst thing that can happen is if you've stopped networking during that time, it's almost like starting over at ground zero, and you don't want that. And the same is true in anything, okay, whether it's in business or in social aspects. You want to constantly be meeting new, exciting, interesting people. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to be lost. You know, the other thing is the more you put into networking, the more you're going to get in return. Okay. Now, not expecting it, but it happens. And when you meet very interesting people, it's going to take you into walks of life where you never thought you'd be.
Yep.
And that's fun and exciting. And the last thing really goes back to my what the hell approach. It's a what the hell approach to life. What have you got to lose? Take chances. Do things that make you feel a little uncomfortable. You're going to meet great people. You're going to come across great things that are going to enter your life and really impact you in a very positive way.
Yeah. Wow. Those are great pieces of advice. And I agree with all of them. Never stop because it is a never-ending process. And the more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. I agree with that 100%. And definitely, what do you have to lose? You right. know, right?
What's the worst thing that can happen? You're no worse off than you are today. So there's only upside. Absolutely.
Exactly. It's really good. Final words of advice there. So, Marty, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what is the best way that they can reach you?
Well, they can reach me through Gmail.
Okay.
My Gmail address is martygilbert1@gmail.com.
Okay.
Our website for the North Shore Executive Networking Group is nsenginc.com. And you can certainly find me on LinkedIn. Feel free to send me a note through email or through LinkedIn. And anybody out there who may be in an active job search looking for some help, I can give it to you two ways. One is by attending our meetings, and the other is through the personalized one-on-one coaching that I conduct for folks.
That's fantastic. And we will include all that information in our show notes. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on our show today, Marty.
Great. Well, thanks for having me. This was really very, very nice. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Good. You offered tons of fantastic advice for our listeners, and I'm sure they appreciate it as well. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Marty for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.